Hello and welcome to the weekly wrap-up for the week of March 4th, 2016. We're bringing you the week's top stories from Ryerson and beyond. I'm your host, Jacqueline Tucci.
And I'm Kelsey Rambrand. In the news this week, the RSU election is in full swing.
Guillory Massa has filed a human rights complaint against the RSU.
And the men's and women's volleyball teams advanced to the OUA Final Four.
We'll also introduce you to the IPUC. Former RSU employee Guillory Massa announced on Monday that she filed a human rights complaint against the RSU and its executive members. This comes after she was fired from her role as executive director of communications by the Students' Union in December while on maternity leave. Massa said that this case is about the right of women to balance career and family. The RSU president, Andrea Bartlett, disagrees. Bartlett said Massa was let go as part of an overall restructuring of the organization, and she said that came after an independent review found the role to be redundant. Massa is taking her complaint to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario. If she's successful, resolution may come in the form of sensitivity training for the RSU and its executive members, and she might get her job back. If she's unsuccessful, well, Kelsey, she's out of a job.
Good news for anyone who takes a shortcut through O'Keefe Lane. The small alley between the SLC and the library will soon be getting a facelift. On Monday, fourth-year urban planning students won a design competition and $2,000. Their design is called Multiplied Ground. It includes a communal waste area to help hide dumpsters, more lighting for safety, and a courtyard. When will we see it? Not sure. They're just saying it will be going into development.
You're hearing a lot about campaigning these days, and not just involving the Donald. There's a campaign underway here on campus, and today is the last day. Candidates are running on three main slates. They call themselves Are You Connected, Impact, and the Rhino Party. Obaid Ullah is running for president for Impact, A.O. Akbar for Are You Connected, Tasbia Wahid for Rhino, and Dara Vasui is running independently. The campaign this year was shortened to just 3 business days compared to last year's 2 weeks, a decision made by the RSU after students and candidates complained that the 2015 election campaign was too dragged out. There was talk of how this shortened campaign time might affect the slate's ability to get their platforms out to students, but presidential candidates Akbar and Ullah both agree a successful campaign can still be run, it all just depends on effective strategy. Something they both said they feel they've been accomplishing so far. Students can vote at polling stations across campus or online between March 7th and March 9th.
An RSU poll for what to spend an extra $10,000 in the budget closed Wednesday night, and Ryerson has spoken. The majority money came from education campaigning. Out of the 7 options offered, students have decided the money will be put to best use for needs-based bursaries. Options were chosen after surveying students in November in person and on social media. The final options were chosen at the end of January, based on the ones with the most support on social media. Many students thought the money should go to Guillory Massa as compensation, but others felt that giving back to the students was a better way to spend the campaign money.
And in entertainment news, the Academy Awards took place on Sunday. The internet went crazy when the Academy awarded the Oscar for Best Actor to Leonardo DiCaprio. This was his first win after 5 nominations, and many think it's long overdue. Best Actress went to Room star Brie Larson, and Best Picture went to Spotlight.
In sports news, the men's and women's volleyball teams have both advanced to the OUA Final Four championships. The men defeated the Western Mustangs 3-1 to advance to the Final Four, which began this week. Meanwhile, the women's team beat out the Queen's Gales to advance and faces off against the Western Mustangs tonight in the semifinal game.
In more Ryerson sports-related news, a group of Ryerson engineering students are developing a hockey puck prototype to help improve the game for visually impaired students. Ryersonian reporter Emily Stahara joins us to discuss it. Emily, can you tell us a bit about the iPuck?
Well, basically, the iPuck is it's a hockey puck that's engineered for visually impaired hockey players. So when they're playing on the ice, of course, they need something audible that they can follow around. And until recently, they've been using kind of like this archaic puck that is kind of bigger. So because actually some players on the team have very limited vision, so if it's a little bigger, they can follow it better. And they have metal bearings in it that jingle when the puck is moved. But then the problem with that is when it's stationary, of course, you can't find it, and that's a big problem for them. So these 6 engineering students are working on making a puck that is actually, you can kind of control it from off the ice, and you can make it make noises. And also, they're doing this cool thing where when you hit it, it starts beeping faster. So the players will know how fast the puck is going, and then they can gauge the trajectory, the direction, And when it's stationary, it has more of a pulse, so they can actually find it on the ice instead of when it's stationary, it doesn't make any noise. So, yeah, and a lot of people have been trying to build this recently. Apparently, they're up against some Sheridan students as well. So it's kind of a race to patent the IPUC.
Do you know what makes this Ryerson design different from some of these other? Because I read about that they're all sort of competing to get the final product patented.
They actually told me what they did to it, but they don't want me to mention exactly. But basically, they put a polyurethane on it, and it's a special kind of polyurethane that it makes it durable. And because the Sheridan people, apparently, when they put their puck on the ice, it only lasted 4 seconds because when players started hitting it around, it broke. Because there's some very delicate circuitry in there that makes it make the noise. So if you smack that with a hockey stick, it's going to break. So the Ryerson students, they just received it back, I think, from the people that coded it. So hopefully they're going to test it out soon and it'll be all right.
And did by any chance they tell you how the students got the idea to do this specific project?
Yeah, definitely. They joined the North American Society of Tetra, which is specifically an organization that connects students or volunteers or skilled volunteers like engineers with people with physical disabilities or anything, just people that think that there's something that needs to be built. Like an assistive device, basically. So Steve Pollard, who is a coach, I believe, of a visually impaired hockey team, he thought that this was definitely missing from the game. And it's true, it definitely is. I'm surprised no one has tackled this before. And I think Steve Pollard is also the person that told the Sheridan people to do this. So that's what's happening.
So you mentioned that prior to this, they've been playing with this really large sort of puck. How does that operate? Is it based on sound also, or is this completely original design?
The original, I think they're both going to be slightly larger just for the players with limited visibility so they can still kind of see. But what's new about this design is it has circuitry in it with an electronic noise instead of just the metal bearings, and it'll have the new coating, and it'll also apparently, even above and beyond, I think it has sensors that sense when the ice needs to be zambonied and stuff like that. It'll sense if it's too slushy and all that fancy stuff.
How do you think this is going to impact visually impaired hockey players in the future?
I think it's going to be really great. There's actually a tournament happening next weekend at the Mattamy Athletic Center, and it's so teams from all across Canada, the visually impaired hockey teams, I think Toronto's is called the Ice Owls, and they're going to be playing. I talked to the coach, and he's like, yeah, we're still playing with this one that just has metal bearings in it. And it's just shocking that there hasn't been something better made. So I think this is going to be really great, hopefully patented within the next year. I think what the students who built it, I think their main goal is to just allow players with visual impairments to play hockey without thinking that it's a different game, without... You know, they want them to be able to play, like, the real game of hockey. Because, say, the puck stops moving on the ice and you can't hear it, you have to stop play, the coach has to come out, tell you where the puck is. So, you know, I guess just playing the game as seamlessly as possible is the goal.
Is this project for school credit?
No school credit, but the engineering team said that it's kind of a great way to test all of the things that they learn in school because they never really get a chance to build anything. It's more theory, so doing these projects outside of school really helped them.
Thank you, Emily, for joining us.
That's all for your weekly wrap-up. I'm Jacqueline Tucci.
And I'm Kelsey Rambrand. For more on these stories and more news, visit us online at ryersonian.ca and on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at the Ryersonian.
Thanks for listening.